Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council Member at Large. J.P., welcome to the show. Yesterday, a tragic event. Your thoughts?
That's a lot. No, I mean, it was heartbreaking yesterday what happened. It was a horrific terrorist act meant to inspire fear and trepidation in the citizens of New Orleans. And in the wake of that, the city council, a lot of our partners have done the work over the last 24 hours of notifying families, reuniting people with loved ones, notifying people when loved ones have departed, setting up the New Orleans New Year's Tragedy Fund, like the Boston Marathon fund that was set up for victims and for those affected, and really just trying to make sure this city is safe and secure while also getting to the bottom of what occurred, which is all a lot in 24 hours.
It absolutely is. It is, though, as you just pointed out, incredibly important that everyone come together in response to this, right? Both the visitors and some of the locals. In fact, we were just notified here that one of our own that works for Odyssey was one of those tragically killed. And our thoughts and prayers go out to them. I just learned of this minutes ago. And it continues to reveal itself.
I mean, that's 100% correct. I mean, basically, and I've had this conversation with a lot of national, international outlets. When you have a terrorist act happen, their number one goal is to disrupt society, disrupt the lives of everyone involved, and make us fearful about living our lives and fearful and doubt the sanctity of our government, whether it be on the state, local, or federal level, and really undermine democracy. And to put it quite candidly, the best way to flip off terrorists is to not let them do that.
No, absolutely. And I said earlier, I would hope everybody would turn on the Sugar Bowl game today. If they're not going, watch it on TV. You know, let it be the highest rated bowl game that they've had thus far for that very reason, to send a message we're not going to be swayed.
Absolutely. That is 100% correct. And that is certainly the message that I've been putting out there. And I've told people, if you're planning on coming to the game in person today, it is going to be a safe and secure game. Just be a little patient with all the additional security measures and plan accordingly. If you were planning on coming to the game 30, 45 minutes out, you might want to look at more like an hour and a half, because there will be layers upon layers of security that will be inconvenient, but it will make you more safe as we continue to deal with the wake of this terrorist attack.
There are some things that come from this, though, that are tough, right? That you got to look at yourself in the mirror critically. I made the observation earlier. I heard your interview with Tommy Tucker. I thought you were very honest and transparent about your feelings. I left yesterday's presser feeling less than. It wasn't our best foot forward.
I 100% agree with that. I think that, and I'll say that that's not just from the local. I thought that across the board, it was off. And I think that it was, we were not speaking with one voice. Everyone was very discombobulated. And the presser today, the informational session with the governor, I felt that was much better in that it was
1,000% better.
It was a lot less people. I was not there because the reality is, no one, you know this, the city council doesn't need to be there. Who needed to be there was the mayor, the governor, and law enforcement providing information, in that we didn't need a clown car of elected officials there all trying to posture for the camera. We needed people there providing coherent, precise information. I thought that the FBI representative was much more on the ball today and like saying, this happened, this didn't happen. And when they got a little pushback from the press on, well, you said there was a group and there was only one person, they said, we've been transparent. When, I mean, you know this because you were in law enforcement. It's the double-edged sword of getting information in real time. If you want accurate information that is without error, you have to wait longer. And what they were doing is telling everyone in real time, here are the leads we're following. And I mean, when it came down to the person versus multiple people versus being a person again, I think everyone can agree, if you're looking at IUDs in the street and people are opening the ice chest and looking in them, I think that for law enforcement's first impression to be, well, are they accessories? It's hard to believe someone looked in that ice chest, saw something that suspicious, and didn't say anything.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there will be more to that story, certainly, right?
There will be. I mean, there's going to be a lot of, I mean, Newell, what was really troubling to me after that second presser was, how far have we gone from see something, say something? Because in the wake of these previous terrorist attacks this country has faced, we've grown up with a generation of people saying, listen, if you're at the airport and there's an unoccupied bag, flag someone down. You're in the middle of Bourbon Street with some random ice chest with some technology in it, and you don't stop anyone? I mean, there's that. There's the fact that obviously we're going to have a very lengthy conversation publicly, an investigation regarding the Bollard situation, which is its own loaded problem we have right now. But also today we find out that the terrorist posted on social media hours before the attack that he was driving to New Orleans to do an attack.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I think we're going to find, and I don't want to use the word breakdowns, but I think we're going to find missed opportunities throughout, right? The Bollard is one. My only thing is that I think the Bollard is emblematic of something bigger, right? The city at some point in time made a decision that they were going to increase security protocols around a piece of geography, otherwise known as the French Quarter. You minimize risk. You don't eliminate it. You're never going to eliminate all risk, so you minimize it. But what it requires is execution. Once you've made that decision, you whatever measures you put in place, you have to execute on them. Bollards are just simply one of those. Where, you know, whether or not they were good, whether or not they were poorly designed or whatever, that's something that you deal with every 30 days. You don't wait till a big event to come your way before you're dealing with this thing. You want those things operational all the time, right? I mean, it's a little confusing to me when we talk about everything that we're going to do, but it still requires execution. It still requires preventive maintenance. It still requires a level of attention no matter what you deploy. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, all of that's correct, but it also requires, and I mean, you know, I have two brothers that are in law enforcement, one who's currently a bomb tech who was out, who's been out, I guess, for almost 36 hours doing bomb disposal, but it also requires redundancy. I mean, the reality is that even when you have the bollards, there are a tremendous amount of other available opportunities that if the bollards were not functional, there are redundancies in place that were also not utilized. For example, I'm aware of the fact there are at least two mobile bollard units that were previously utilized that were not out that night. As you know, we've done it during Mardi Gras previously, just because we've dealt with drunk drivers plowing into Endymion, you can pull out trucks. There's a variety of different things that if the bollards were not operational, part of what we're going to look into going forward is, like, it's not just the bollards, it's where was the other infrastructure that could have been out there as redundancy or replacement to replace them throughout the streets. So, I mean, I try not to, I've had a lot of interviews with a lot of national outlets that kind of want to fixate on one thing versus another thing. And like you said, there's going to be a cascade of breakdowns and missed opportunities. And the bollards are certainly one of them, but they're one of many that we're going to have to look at in retrospect with a very critical eye and really figure out why this happened. And I can only tell you, because I've dealt with law enforcement for so much of my life, just like you, I have to wonder how much institutional knowledge the NOPD lost over the last couple of years. People who were there as recently as when the bollards were first installed in the wake of the French truck attack, who pushed for that redundancy, who just because of attrition have been replaced by people who weren't there for when that happened or had that sense of urgency. You know what I mean?
Yes. No, absolutely. I mean, but that's part of execution, right?
Absolutely.
Transfer of knowledge, transfer of information, making sure that the appropriate people are in place that know how the bollards work, or, you know, if there's a problem, you know, if you have a hydraulic bollard or a hydraulically driven piece of equipment, is there a manual backup to it? These are all things that you want to, be able to exercise, practice, and everything else in order to appropriately utilize it. But separate and apart from the bollards, just I think that one of the most important things you said is that no matter what measure you deploy, you got to actually execute on that measure. Because otherwise, 100%. It's not worth the paper it's written on. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large, and I'm sure we'll be reaching out to you in the near future as well. We certainly appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you, Noel.
Thank you, sir. That's J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.